Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Seven Signs of Ethical Collapse is a business ethics and corporate governance book by Marianne M. Jennings that explains how organizational wrongdoing often develops as a pattern long before it becomes visible in scandal or fraud. Rather than treating ethical failure as sudden or accidental, the book argues that collapse usually leaves recognizable warning signs in culture, leadership, oversight, and day-to-day behavior. Jennings wrote the book for readers who need to judge organizational integrity before financial or reputational damage becomes irreversible, including boards, executives, auditors, investors, and employees. Its central purpose is diagnostic to help people identify conditions that make unethical conduct more likely and to respond before collapse becomes entrenched. The book is especially associated with the concept of the yeehaw culture, a term Jennings uses to describe an atmosphere in which rationalization, image management, and weak accountability allow misconduct to flourish. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, ethical collapse is presented as a pattern of warning signs, not a sudden breakdown. Jennings' main contribution is to shift attention away from isolated bad acts and toward recurring organizational conditions that predict deeper failure. The seven signs are not meant as a rigid checklist, but as an early warning framework for recognizing moral drift inside a company. That matters because corporate scandals often look unexpected in hindsight, while in reality, many of their causes were visible through culture, leadership style, and governance weaknesses. The book's framework makes ethics operational. Readers are asked to look for pressure to hit numbers, fear of speaking up, weak oversight, conflicts of interest, and rationalizations that excuse bad conduct. This approach is useful because it connects ethics to observable organizational behavior rather than abstract ideals. It also encourages prevention instead of after-the-fact blame. In effect, Jennings treats ethical collapse as something that can be diagnosed from symptoms, much like a serious organizational disease that becomes harder to treat the longer it is ignored. Secondly, pressure to maintain numbers can distort judgment and normalize misconduct. One of the book's most important signs is relentless pressure to produce results, especially financial results. Jennings argues that when meeting targets becomes the dominant concern, employees and managers can begin to treat ethical standards as flexible obstacles rather than fixed commitments. The danger is not only fraud at the top, it is also the gradual normalization of shortcuts throughout the organization. People may begin to postpone bad news, manipulate reporting, or ignore problems because leadership has made performance the only visible measure of worth. This sign is significant because it shows how unethical behavior often grows from incentives that appear ordinary in business settings. Jennings does not deny the importance of performance, but she warns that pressure without integrity creates a setting where deception becomes easier to justify. In this sense, the book links ethical failure to managerial systems, not just personal weakness. Readers are pushed to ask whether the organization rewards results in ways that silence truth, conceal risk, and encourage employees to protect appearances instead of accuracy. Thirdly, fear, silence, and weak boards remove the checks that stop bad behavior early. Jennings places heavy emphasis on organizational silence because ethical collapse thrives when people are afraid to question authority or report concerns. Fear can come from a dominant CEO, a punitive internal culture, or the expectation that dissent will be punished. When silence becomes normal, bad information never reaches the people who could correct it. The book also highlights weak boards as a critical governance failure. A board that is passive, uninformed, or too close to management cannot provide meaningful oversight, especially when executives are exerting pressure or hiding problems. Jennings' argument is that ethics is not sustained by policies alone. It requires channels for challenge, scrutiny, and independent judgment. Without those safeguards, organizations lose their internal immune system. This is one reason the book has practical value for governance professionals and auditors. It shows that ethical decline is often enabled by structural absence as much as by individual wrongdoing. A culture of silence and a compliant board together create the conditions in which misconduct can continue unchecked long enough to become catastrophic. Fourthly, charismatic leadership, conflicts of interest, and innovation can mask governance failure. Several of Jennings' signs focus on leadership concentration and the appearance of exceptional success. A larger-than-life CEO can create an atmosphere where personal loyalty replaces accountability and where normal oversight is seen as disloyalty. The book warns that this kind of leadership can make an organization vulnerable because it discourages honest challenge and concentrates too much influence in one person. Jennings also highlights conflicts of interest, including family or financial entanglements, because these can distort decisions long before they become public scandals. In addition, the sign she calls innovation like no other points to companies that present themselves as uniquely visionary or too sophisticated for conventional controls. That kind of self-image can become dangerous if it convinces leaders that the usual rules do not apply to them. The book's insight is that impressive branding, celebrated leadership, and claims of uniqueness can hide governance weaknesses. Ethical collapse is therefore not limited to obviously troubled firms. It can also occur in organizations admired for charisma, growth, or creativity if those strengths are allowed to substitute for accountability. Lastly, good deeds and philanthropy are not substitutes for integrity. Jennings is especially skeptical of the idea that goodness in one area can cancel wrongdoing in another. This final sign warns against letting philanthropy, community involvement, or social responsibility distract observers from deeper ethical or financial problems. Her point is not that charitable activity is inherently bad, but that it can be used as a reputational shield. An organization may gain public trust through visible generosity while hiding weak controls, poor labor treatment, self-dealing, or financial manipulation. That is why the book urges readers to examine the full picture instead of assuming that social good proves moral health. Jennings also advises skepticism toward public displays of responsibility when they are not matched by internal integrity. This makes the framework especially useful for investors and analysts who may otherwise be influenced by polished public relations. The broader lesson is that ethics cannot be outsourced to image management. True organizational integrity requires consistency between external virtue and internal conduct. And the book repeatedly shows that a company's reputation for generosity may be one of the least reliable indicators of its actual moral condition. In conclusion, The Seven Signs of Ethical Collapse is best suited to readers who evaluate organizations from the inside or from a distance and need practical ways to detect risk early. Board members, executives, auditors, compliance professionals, analysts, and investors will all find value in its diagnostic approach. But it is also useful for employees who want to understand why certain workplaces become hostile to truth and accountability. The book's main benefit is that it turns ethics into something observable: culture, silence, leadership concentration, weak governance, and reputational distraction. That makes it more practical than many business ethics books that stay at the level of general principle. What distinguishes Jennings' work is its early warning emphasis. Instead of explaining ethics as an abstract virtue, she shows how ordinary organizational habits can accumulate into serious moral failure. The book is also notable for connecting governance and culture rather than treating them separately. Readers come away with a sharper sense of how scandals are often prepared long in advance, and why prevention depends on noticing patterns that others dismiss as normal business pressure. In its category, it stands out as a concise but pointed framework for spotting ethical danger before the collapse is visible to everyone else. If you would like to support Marianne M. Jennings, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.